spending hours searching for water, and people are starting to drink agricultural water. So we're seeing an uptick in diarrheal diseases, respiratory infections, chickenpox. You know, this is a humanitarian and health catastrophe that is basically being live streamed in front of our eyes.
And the position of the Biden administration, we just have 30 seconds at this point.
The position of the Biden administration is entirely inadequate and utterly outrageous. Biden needs to call for a ceasefire. The U.S. is planning to send Israel more weapons that will only create more havoc. So Israel should not be getting weapons, and Biden must call for a total ceasefire. That is absolutely necessary from a humanitarian, healthcare, political, human, and moral point of view.
Dr. Alice Rothschild, we thank you for being with us. We'll continue our conversation, post online at democracynow.org. Retired OBGYN, who has long worked in Palestine, was in Gaza in August on the Steering Committee of Jewish Voice for Peace Health Advisory Council.
KBOO Community Radio just wrapped up our annual fall membership drive. Support from listeners like you helped us reach our goal, gain new members, and prepared us to bring you more organic, homegrown, fresh-off-the-vine community radio. Thanks to all those who donated during this drive, and thanks to those who listened in. Stay tuned for more.
Remember the days of wandering the pumpkin patches in search of just the right one to bring home? Not too big, not too small, but with a little bit of personality? Well, the days of mucking through the chilled autumn air are over. Now you can grab a KBOO pumpkin crew neck or long sleeve that fits just right and keeps your elbows protected from the elements. Pick up an organic, homegrown, community-sourced piece of merch in gray, green, navy, or maroon and rock this autumn in style. Just check out the sidebar on our website at kboo.fm to harvest your KBOO pumpkin apparel today.
Well, you are tuned in to KBOO Portland. The time is just about 5:02, which means it's time for your KBOO evening news.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Portland unionized teachers are back on the picket line for the third day of their strike.
Hundreds of protesters block the port of Tacoma, hoping to stop a shipment of weapons to Israel.
And a new report shows the dangers of toxic vapors in Portland in the event of a major earthquake.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Monday, November 6, 2023. I'm Ron Bronson.
And I'm Reed Johnson. Portland unionized teachers are back on the picket line today, with classes being canceled for a third day. The Portland Association of Teachers and Portland Public Schools negotiated on Saturday and Sunday, but haven't yet come to an agreement. They described the talks as quote-unquote constructive, but internally they warned members that they should prepare for more pickets. Key issues include teachers' pay, planning time, mental health supports for students, and caps on class sizes. The union wrote to members over the weekend, quote, "We are concerned that the pace of bargaining is closer to what might have been appropriate 6 months ago. We need to see written proposals from management, most notably on workload relief, as soon as possible if we were to see a pathway to settlement," end quote. If teachers don't return to work by mid-November, they risk losing district-provided health coverage for December. Striking workers could keep their coverage under the federal COBRA program, which allows employees to pay for health care up to 18 months after leaving a job. In some instances, labor unions have helped members cover these costs until the strike ends. So far, state lawmakers, including Oregon Governor Tina Kotek, haven't been willing to find more public funding for the teachers. Kotek says she expects the school district and the teachers to come to agreement based on the existing pool of money.
Hundreds of protesters are blocking the port of Tacoma today, intending to stop munitions from being loaded onto a military ship bound for Israel. At least 300 protesters were there late this morning. Some waved Palestinian flags, others held signs reading, quote, no aid for Israel and cease fire now. The protests began at 5 a.m. One protester told the Seattle Times, quote, We are here today because we are blocking a military vessel that has come from the Oakland dock up to Tacoma. We know our presence here. We are blocking the workers from being able to do their jobs and load the ship," end quote. The Port of Tacoma hasn't confirmed whether the vessel, the Cape Orlando, is indeed being loaded with weapons bound for Israel. A spokesperson for the Department of Defense told the AP that the boat is under the control of the Navy Military Sealift Command and is supporting the movement of U.S. military cargo. This comes after a demonstration of hundreds of thousands of people in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, demanding a ceasefire in Gaza and end to the American aid to Israel. It appears that one of the largest expressions of American solidarity to the Palestinian people to date. Similar rallies were held in London, Berlin, Paris, Ankara, and Istanbul. More than 10,000 Palestinians have been killed in a month of war in Gaza, and over 4,000 of those killed have been children and minors.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken finished a Middle East diplomatic tour today. Speaking with journalists, the secretary was optimistic, yet his trip failed to develop a plan to improve humanitarian aid in Gaza as the Israeli attacks against Hamas intensify. Blinken met with Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan after visiting Israel, Jordan, Cyprus, and Iraq. He was there to build support for the Biden administration's proposal for quote-unquote humanitarian pauses in the Israeli war in Gaza. Yet in a gesture of disapproval of the Secretary of State's policy, Turkish President Erdogan refused to meet with Blinken. Meanwhile, Israeli troops surrounded Gaza City and isolated the northern part of the territory. Blinken's mission, his second to the region since the war began, ends with circumstances worse than when he arrived. Aid trucks crossing from Egypt into Gaza, lauded as an achievement of Blinken diplomacy, dropped in number from 100 on Friday to around 30 a day since then. Israel has rejected the idea of a ceasefire, despite demands from neighboring countries as well as several UN bodies. Jordan and Turkey have recalled their ambassadors to Israel to protest its tactics. This weekend, both the Egyptian and Jordanian foreign ministers appeared at a joint news conference with Blinken, saying Israel's war had gone beyond self-defense and could no longer be justified.
A federal judge rules that Oregon must release criminal defendants who don't have representation 7 days after their first court date. Oregon's public defender system has been understaffed and underfunded for decades. This means there aren't enough lawyers for people who need them. As of Friday, there were 135 people in county jails across the state who do not have representation. The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution guarantees the right to an attorney. Judge Michael McShane expanded on an earlier order requiring underrepresented defendants to be released. Now criminal defendants must be released within 7 days of their first court appearance if they don't have a lawyer. Judge McShane wrote in his opinion, quote, "In essence, they have been locked away without a voice, being too poor to afford an advocate to speak for them in the courtroom," end quote. Oregon lawmakers passed new funding for the public defender system earlier this year to increase pay and overhaul the system. Oregon remains the only state that funds public defenders fully on contractors. According to the American Bar Association, the state only has a third of the public defenders it really needs to maintain the people's Sixth Amendment rights.
New research shows that toxic vapors will be a major threat to Portlanders in the event of an earthquake. That comes from a Portland State research report commissioned by Multnomah County on the risks following a potential Cascadia subduction zone earthquake. The report found an earthquake would cause significant damage to above-ground tanks and pressurized cylinders that store toxic chemicals. These facilities are primarily located at the Critical Energy Infrastructure Hub, or CEI Hub, between Highway 30 and the west side of the Willamette. The fossil fuel terminal extends just 6 miles, yet houses more than 90% of all of Oregon's gas and diesel. Chemicals stored in the hub include ammonia, chlorine, hydrochloric acid, sulfur dioxide, and toluene. Toxic plumes of these chemicals could lead to tens of thousands of injuries and thousands of deaths. Luke Hanst is the study's lead author and says these figures in the report are, quote, conservatively low and don't reflect other crisis factors like overwhelmed hospitals and damage to the city's water infrastructure. The report made use of information normally classified to the public about what chemicals are stored where and what amount. Local residents can, however, obtain information for specific storage facilities from the fire marshal's office after providing their name, address, and reason for wanting the information. Climate activists have for years raised the threat of the CEI hub and its outdated infrastructure. A 2020 study co-authored by Multnomah County and the City of Portland found the average tank was built in 1954, well before modern seismic standards. Additionally, the CEI sits on loose, dredged soil that will liquefy in the event of an earthquake. The state has taken steps to make seismic upgrades to energy infrastructure, passing Senate Bill 1567 last year. The bill requires fossil fuel storage companies in Multnomah County to evaluate and take steps to minimize seismic risks to their fuel tanks. One such company under scrutiny is Zenith Energy, which transports hundreds of millions of gallons of oil through the CEI hub every year. Facing community pressure to address Zenith's incompatibility with Portland's clean energy goals, the city denied Zenith a permit to legally operate in 2021. Zenith successfully submitted a new application shortly thereafter, promising to divest to quote-unquote renewable fuels in 5 years. However, reporting by Street Roots reporter Jeremiah Hayden showed the city and the energy company coordinated efforts to push the permit through without public comment. For the present, the question of their crumbling infrastructure remains unaddressed. Seismologists estimate there is a 37% chance that a 7.1 magnitude or higher earthquake will hit the Oregon-Washington coast in the next 50 years.
Former President Barack Obama says nobody's hands are clean in the Israel-Hamas war. Secretary of State Pete Buttigieg struggles with House Speaker Mike Johnson's attitudes toward homosexuality. And a new poll found that Trump leads Biden in 5 key states. With more on these stories, it's Alex Gonzalez with 2023 Talks.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
What Hamas did was horrific, and there's no justification for it. And what is also true is that the occupation and what's happening to Palestinians is unbearable.
Nobody's hands are clean in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, says former President Barack Obama on Pod Save America, emphasizing shared responsibility and complex history. Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders says he doubts whether a ceasefire is even possible with Hamas.
Which is dedicated to turmoil and chaos and destroying the state of Israel. And I think what the Arab countries in the region understand, that Hamas has got to go.
Anti-Defamation League Director Jonathan Greenblatt says there's been nearly a 400% increase in U.S. anti-Semitic incidents since Hamas attacked Israel, with anti-Semitism more often seen as normal on the far right and the hard left.
This is a moment of accountability, not just for universities, which, by the way, are failing the test. This is a moment of accountability for America.
Anti-Muslim violence is also increasing. Scandal-ridden New York Republican George Santos says 2023 has been anything but easy, with mounting criminal charges and calls to resign. Still, he says he'd run again, even if expelled from Congress.
Nobody elected me because I played volleyball or not. Nobody elected me because I graduated college or not. People elected me because I said I'd come here to fight the swamp, I'd come here to lower inflation, create more jobs, make life more affordable, and a commitment to America.
Openly gay and married U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg tells CNN it's unsettling that right-wing House Speaker Mike Johnson doesn't support the families of non-heterosexual couples.
I will admit it's a little bit difficult driving the family minivan to drop our kids off at daycare, passing the dome of a Capitol, knowing that the Speaker of the House sitting under that dome doesn't even think our family ought to exist.
Johnson has said he genuinely loves all people, regardless of their lifestyle choices. This week, Maine voters might decide to transfer ownership of its two largest private utilities to the public, a first for any state. Al Cleveland, with the Pine Tree Campaign, says utilities owned by multinational corporations don't serve consumers or shift to clean energy fast enough.
Having a public power company to serve Maine will give us the ability to have greater participation in our democracy and in our communities.
Democratic Governor Janet Mills calls the plan a hostile takeover that could be stuck in the courts for years. Finally, a new Siena College New York Times poll of registered voters shows former President Donald Trump ahead of President Joe Biden by 3 to 10 points in 5 of 6 battleground states, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Making Contact, the Promise and Peril of Geoengineering. At 6 p.m., it's Labor Radio. At 6:30, it's Prison Pipeline. Then at 7, LTAR, Let's Talk About Race. Tonight's weather will be rainy and windy with an overnight low of 50 degrees. Tomorrow's weather, cloudy, no rain forecasted, and a high of 56. Today in history, in 1861, Canadian-American James Naismith was born. He's best known for being the inventor of basketball. In fact, probably only known for that. He lived to see the sport adopted into the Olympics in 1904. The original baskets were made from peach baskets mounted to the wall. The quote of the day is from American former professional basketball player Charles Barkley, who said, quote, "Just because you watch Grey's Anatomy doesn't mean you can do the operation."
The Federal Not Invisible Act Commission issues its report to help governments better respond to the missing and murdered Indigenous people epidemic. With this story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez for National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A federal commission has issued its recommendations to help tribal communities, federal agencies, and law enforcement to respond to missing and murdered Indigenous people. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
According to federal crime data, American Indians and Alaska Natives go missing or are murdered at higher rates than their white counterparts. Many cases go unsolved. Congress passed the Not Invisible Act in 2020. The bill formed a federal commission made up of tribal leaders, federal agencies, families, and survivors. The commission held several hearings across the country to get input from tribal communities. The commission issued numerous recommendations. It called for more federal funding for tribal police and changes to federal laws that limit tribal police investigations. It also called for more training and collaboration between tribal, state, and federal law enforcement agencies. Federal agencies have 90 days to respond to the commission's recommendations. In Columbia Falls, I'm Aaron Bolton.
A new report from Canada's Corrections Watchdog says there are still too many Indigenous people in the country's prisons. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
Correctional investigator Ivan Zinger says over the past decade, the problem has become significantly worse. In his latest report, Zinger says 32% of all federal inmates across the country, as well as 50% of the women, are Indigenous. That's compared to 25% 10 years ago. And he says the system still bears many of the lingering hallmarks of colonialism, which, Zinger adds, contributes to the marginalization, criminalization, and over-imprisonment of Indigenous people in Canada.
The discriminatory treatment of Indigenous persons in federal custody was among the first set of issues raised by my office when it was created 50 years ago. In the decades that follow, my office has issued more than 70 recommendations specific to Indigenous corrections. Sadly, most of these calls have gone unanswered.
And Zinger says the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people in federal custody continues to widen.
It is difficult to escape the conclusion that the correctional system perpetuates conditions of disadvantage and discrimination that contributes to such a disproportional incarceration rate.
In his report, Zinger urges the transfer of federal-operated healing lodges to local authorities. He is also calling for a national strategy of Indigenous decarceration and better support for Indigenous elders who work within the correctional system. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The Coquille tribe says it's landed one of the biggest competitive grants ever in its history. KLCC's Brian Bull reports on the nearly $8 million from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
The money will fund three phases of improvements to the Coquille Wharf near the tribe's Mill Casino Hotel in North Bend. In short, dock repairs will be made to sections which have seen little or no work in 40 years. A 600 to 700-foot extension will be added as well. Ray Doering, the project manager for the wharf, says the final piece is making electrical service available to large ships that dock there.
What a lot of ports are doing now, and we're certainly going to be one of them, is providing electricity in heavy enough volume that they can turn off their diesel engines and connect to electricity here on the dock face. It'll be a lot cheaper, and it's a huge environmental improvement.
Doering is with Tribal One, an organization that helps the Coquille tribe with economic development. He says there's potential in overseas commerce that this wharf improvement will support. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
The controversial Dakota Access oil pipeline is back in the public spotlight over environmental assessments. Federal officials recently held hearings to gather public input on the project. Tribal advocates who oppose it contend the hearing process was flawed and want changes. Mike Moen has more in North Dakota.
Public comment on an aspect of the controversial Dakota Access oil pipeline runs through mid-December. In the meantime, Native American voices are calling attention to the process, suggesting their input is being held back. Those sentiments arose during last week's public hearings in Bismarck, led by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The agency is gathering feedback on an environmental assessment of several options proposed earlier this year. But some attendees were concerned about having to provide their testimony in an enclosed space without the rest of the audience hearing it. Nicole Donaghy of North Dakota Native Vote says that approach missed the mark.
It does affect the audience's ability to hear the other side and to hear subjective testimony, hopefully hear something that they haven't thought of before regarding this pipeline.
The Corps did change the process for the last day, allowing people to speak in an open setting, but Donaghy notes attendance was smaller by then. The agency did not respond to a request for comment. The pipeline drew global attention over protests several years ago about potential environmental harm to the Standing Rock Sioux tribe. The pipeline is still operating as the latest permit is considered. Among the options are to reroute the pipeline, keep it as is, remove sections of it, or abandon it. Many tribal advocates call on federal officials to permanently halt Dakota Access. And Donaghy urges the Corps to be more accommodating before a decision is made.
I would like the Army Corps to hold field hearings on the reservations. I would like for them to release the redacted information in EIS.
She says not allowing the public to see certain details within the environmental impact statement is another way to hinder how opinions are formed about the project. December 13th is the current deadline for public input, with email and postal options still available. State officials say the pipeline has operated safely so far, and big changes could result in lost revenue for North Dakota. This is Mike Moen for Prairie News Service.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Texas says a set of border security bills under consideration by lawmakers will cause harm to migrants, residents, and state law. Ross Brown has more.
A set of border security bills under consideration by Texas lawmakers will cause harm to migrants, residents, and state law, according to a state civil rights group. The American Civil Liberties Union of Texas is opposed to Senate Bill 11, which would make it a state crime for illegally entering Texas from Mexico and authorize state police to arrest violators. It's similar to legislation that failed to pass in an earlier session this year. Traditionally, the Texas legislature met every other year, but this is the third time lawmakers have convened in 2023. ACLU senior attorney David Donati says the never-ending sessions are relentless and exhausting voters.
A part of what makes it feel so relentless is that this is a special legislative session, and it is perplexing and troubling, and not the way that the Texas Constitution or laws envision lawmaking in this state is supposed to happen.
Donati says Texas should treat immigration like the human right that it is and create a humane, fair, and welcoming process instead of dehumanizing narratives. The bills have bogged down due to infighting, and the special session will end tomorrow. Should they pass, Donati says citizens and non-citizens could be subjected to racial profiling and harassment. Earlier this year, Texas began deploying chains of specially designed buoys down the middle of the Rio Grande River to deter migrants from crossing illegally. Another deterrent used is concertina or razor wire, which Donati says he's witnessed.
I've been on the border and I have seen the concertina wire. And I've not only seen the concertina wire, I've seen families separated by the concertina wire. It really just defies all common sense and it defies all humanity.
Last week, a judge ordered federal Border Patrol agents not to interfere with razor wire that Texas has installed. A second hearing in the case is scheduled for this week. For Texas News Service, I'm Roz Brown. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
U.S. Representative George Santos of New York survived last week's vote to expel him from the House of Representatives. Although he's adamant about continuing in his role, residents of his third district want him gone. Edwin J. Vieira reports.
A vote to expel New York Representative George Santos from the U.S. House failed last week to reach the needed two-thirds majority, but his troubles are far from over. The resolution to expel Santos was brought forward by fellow New York Republican Anthony D'Esposito. It comes after Santos was indicted on charges of stealing identities and credit card information from his own campaign donors. He says he'll continue to defend himself and serve his district, but Kim Kaiserman, a member of Concerned Citizens of NYO3, a community group of his constituents backing expulsion efforts, says Santos doesn't represent the will of the people.
Every day that he's been in office, the people of New York 03 have been without representation in Congress. So we think it's important that we get the precedent right now and that we ensure that the conmen and grifters of the future know that they won't be allowed to get away with this.
She says the group feels members of Congress are putting their own agendas before the needs of the district. Aside from the GOP looking to keep its narrow majority in the House, some House members are awaiting the results of an ethics committee investigation into Santos. Those results are expected in 2 weeks. Earlier this year, concerned citizens of NYO3 protested at the Capitol, saying then-Speaker Kevin McCarthy was ignoring the needs of their district. Kaiserman insists there is flexibility in the Constitution to expel a member of the House, and the group is clearly dissatisfied with Santos's performance in Congress.
He is not a serious policymaker. He is not someone who's providing constituent services for the people of the district. And so we are just remaining every day without representation.
Kaiserman hopes once the ethics committee results are released, the excuse-making will end, and another resolution to expel Santos will be brought to the floor for an up or down vote. This is Edwin J. Vieira for New York News Connection.
Eye experts are cautioning. Urgent caution after an FDA recall, dozens of different eye drop brands. Nadia Ragomalan has more in Kentucky.
After the FDA's warning that more than two dozen over-the-counter eye drops could potentially cause infection, partial vision loss, and blindness, medical experts in the Commonwealth are urging residents to toss out and report suspected products to the FDA's MedWatch Adverse Event Portal. University of Louisville ophthalmology professor Dr. Richard Eiferman explains the FDA requires a preservative be added to all eye drops, and the recalled products either lacked the preservative or it was ineffective, leading to contamination. He says anyone experiencing pain, discharge, and decreased vision after using drops should seek immediate medical attention. The recalled products include eye drops under the brands CVS Health, Leader, Rugby, Rite Aid, Target, Up and Up, and Velocity Pharma.
If you have an infection in the eye, bacteria can double every 20 minutes. You got a gazillion organisms in a very short period of time, and it can absolutely overwhelm the eye and cause a blinding infection.
The FDA says major chain stores, including CVS, Rite Aid, and Target, are removing the products from their shelves and websites. Cardinal Health, Inc. has voluntarily recalled 6 Leader brand drops, and Harvard Drug Group has voluntarily recalled 2 Rugby brand eye drops. According to the FDA, investigators found unsanitary conditions and positive bacterial test results after sampling production areas in a facility linked to the suspected brands. Eiferman says he believes the problem stems from retailer supply chains.
What's happening is that these chains are buying off these off-label drops and putting their own label on them, and that seems to be the origin of these infections.
Before tossing recalled products into the trash, consumers should check to see if they are included on the FDA's flush list. This is Nadia Ramlagan for Kentucky News Connection.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News for Monday, November 6th, 2023. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us through breaking news, stories, tips, sports predictions, prophecies, at 971-245-2158. Our production team for tonight's newscast includes Josh Salem and myself. The producer and engineer is Althea Billings. Special thanks to Eric Galatas, Antonio Gonzalez, Roz Brown, Edwin J. Vieira, Alex Gonzalez, and Nadia Ramlagan. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Reed Johnson.
And I'm Ron Bronson. All of our KBOO programs, including the Evening News, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to our website at kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for Making Contact.
on the grassroots level.
You're listening to Making Contact.
I'm Salima Hamrani, and on today's Making Contact,
a dire new report out from the United Nations. It's about the state of the Earth's climate.
And I'm Jessica Partnow, joining as a co-host on today's show. And we're talking about a possible solution to the very scary situation our planet is in.
Yeah, the organization says urgent action needs to be taken now to prevent a catastrophe.
And as this year has proven, we're reaching a tipping point in global warming. And some people think it's time to start using a controversial new technology called geoengineering to stall climate change and maybe even stop it completely.
We believe we could slow global warming by as much as a decade before it reached 2 degrees centigrade.
It sounds like a brilliant solution to all of our problems, but a lot of indigenous communities and some climate scientists are not so sure.
If there's anything we should have learned from the experience of anthropogenic climate change, it is that large-scale human interventions in Earth's ecosystems can have unforeseen dangerous consequences.
So what exactly is geoengineering?
And why is it so controversial?
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Making Contact, and Jessica, thank you for joining me today. We don't usually have you on as a co-host, and I was wondering if you could share why you wanted to join and why this topic was so interesting to you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for inviting me to join you this week. And I think that the state the world is in right now just personally feels really scary to me. And I'm feeling an increasing sense of urgency about what we can do about climate change.
Yeah, it's been really frightening to watch the world's climate get extremely out of balance this year. Just record temperatures across the globe, heat waves in the ocean, devastating hurricanes, fires. I mean, it's been very difficult to maintain a sense of hope.